This is an interview with County Commissioner Thomas Barrett for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project concerning the shutdown of the Youngstown Sheet and Tube by Philip Bracey at the County Commissioner's Office on April 7th at 9:15 a.m.
Good morning, Commissioner Barrett. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself and where you grew up and so forth?
My name is Thomas Barrett. I'm Mahoney County Commissioner. I was born on the south side of Youngstown and grew up in the south side of Youngstown. My grandfather came up what they called the towpath, which was along the canal back in the middle 70s to what was known as the blocks in Youngstown, which were former old coal miners' houses. So the McKinney Block Coal Mine, which was up and around the lower part of the south side. I've always been interested in Youngstown. My parents all worked in the steel mills and the railroads. I would say that my father was able to educate most of the family, and most of them reside in the city of Youngstown today. Some have been in politics and athletics. And
could you tell me any schools that you attended here in Mahoney County?
I attended St. Patrick's Parochial School, South High School, Mahoney County, and graduated from Ohio State University.
Okay. Could you give me the dates on that, please?
I graduated from St. Patrick's in 1925, from South High January 1930, and from Ohio State in 1939.
Okay. Could you please tell me, Commissioner Barrett, where you were and how you first found out about the shutdown of the Youngstown Sheet and Tube?
Well, there had been rumors about the closing of the Sheet and Tube. I think the first rumor came when we had a public hearing at the Voyager Hotel on the environmental qualities of the Mahoning River. The public officials, including the commissioners and other local public officials, plus other interested citizens, mostly asking for an extension of time so they could put into effect the various methods of controlling the waste going into the Mahoning River. It was something that you just couldn't put in by, I forget the year they wanted it in, but the expense and amount of money that you had put into capital equipment in the mill just couldn't put into a non-producing product for air and water pollution. And there was a feeling around that the day of reckoning had come. Either you had to abide by all the standards, water and air pollution, or by the steel mills.
Do you remember the date of that hearing?
It was in the Voyager Hotel. It was possibly when Mayor Flass was mayor, and that's for about 10 years ago, at least.
That was the first indication that you had that
things were coming, that the valley was going to be in trouble. Then I was on the Board of RETA, the West Reserve Economic Development, and Father Hogan from Fordham University was hired as consultant. As I remember it, he brought up the idea of one central blast furnace up where the U.S. Steel is now located, or was located, and they could haul the hot metal from a distance of, I think from 10 to 15 miles, as far away as the Sharon Steel, Hoop and Sharon anyway, from the, to supply the mills with the, and another question was the rail transportation to move the raw products to their. We do have a very good transportation system with highways, but there's also the need for rail transportation.
You're speaking of the unit train, I believe? Is
that unit train, yeah. That was brought into discussion, okay. The unit train.
On September 19th, 1977, though, the day of the announcement of the shutdown, do you recall how you were informed of the shutdown?
Well, I think everybody, the rumors had been so rampant that when you couldn't say it come that particular day because everybody seemed to know in advance that it was coming. So it just happened to be that day. It was no surprise to anybody.
I mean, I recognize you were telling me this, back to Mayor Flass, that there was a clear indication that, that things were not going along correctly, but do you recall where you were? I mean, what you were doing at the time?
I was downtown in the office, and probably at lunchtime when they announced it, that somebody probably wasn't listening to radio, but I remember it caused quite an upset, and I called up the welfare director and asked him to what we would do, and he suggested that we get a hold of Russ Baxter, who was head of the union down at the Sheet and Tube, and set up a meeting so they could plan to what their future would be as far as the agencies in Youngstown they could go to and what relief they could expect. And when I always remember this, that had quite a hassle there because most of the men that worked in the mill had an automobile over $1,200, and the state of Ohio said if you had a car over $1,200, you wouldn't be eligible for welfare.
Did you speak to Mr. Baxter or did Mr. Armour or?
We all had our little word, but I'm not the welfare director. I just spoke as I possibly may have been president of the Board of County Commissioners at the time and introduced those that were present. There was our welfare director. There were people there from different service agencies and the hotline, incidentally, if you needed any particular. They had a hotline in those days.
In the early weeks after the announcement of the shutdown, what efforts did the commissioners take, besides the one you just mentioned, of course?
Well, the first thing, the economical, ecumenical group was formed. They took sort of the leadership of it, and I attended several meetings and offered what support the Board of County Commissioners could give to the ecumenical coalition.
Were those the breakfast meetings that the clergy?
They had evening meetings, and I remember going to a church, a Methodist church in Boardman, the first Presbyterian church in Youngstown, and they met into, you selected what group you could best serve on, and then the Council of Churches had a group that formed most of the agencies in Youngstown, and I more or less represented the county commissioners on that group too, and they met monthly and discussed what they, I don't know whether they still do or not, I more or less drifted away from that group.
That was through the Mahoning Valley Association Church?
Council of Churches at their headquarters on Wick Avenue.
Reverend Sparker's
headquarters.
Okay.
Most of the agencies belonged to that group, and they were taking a very strong look at what they could provide and what to expect.
Did the county commissioners participate in the Steel Communities Coalition? And could you tell
county
me?
County commissioners were very active in the Steel Communities Coalition. Naturally, because we had the plants not only in Youngstown, Campbell, Struthers, McDonald, Girard, Warren. It was through the RETA organization that we could become interested in it. And I was chairman of the board of RETA, so naturally I moved in the position of one of the directors.
Were you contacted? I realize your staff position or your position with RETA, but were you contacted, let's say, by Mr. Sullivan or something? How were you?
I was just there at the right time. If I wasn't there, I probably had been another commissioner. It still happened with me. So we all trucked down to Washington, flew down. As a matter of fact, we went down several times. We had very well received by the Department of Commerce.
This would be approximately when, sir?
That would possibly be when...
I mean, I was trying to put in a time frame, like the time following frame, the shutdown announcement, or just after
was,
that? Or
no, it was right before the... We were trying to get the trigger price put in on steel, and we're trying to what you'd call save the mills. And when it was then when they start closing the mills. They had problems down in the High River area, particularly around the Wheeling. I don't know what steel mill it was now, but down around Steubenville or Wheeling, that area there, that they're already closing down around Portsmouth. And we saw the handwriting on the wall, and both in Pittsburgh and in Youngstown.
What groups or what entities served on the Steel Communities Coalition, and how many, was there a set?
At the beginning of the Steel Cities Coalition was largely attended because the down where the Bethlehem Steel was in eastern Pennsylvania, they'd already closed down, and one town was pretty hard hit. And the mayors and commissioners formed. They had quite a large group at their first hearing. At their first meeting in Washington, it was surprising how many people went down to the Department of Commerce.
But I mean, the main groups were governmental units? Or
The main groups were governmental units, but like Chamber of Commerce from down around the Beaver Valley, the Chamber of Commerce from Pittsburgh, or they didn't, I won't say the Chamber of Commerce per se, but the group that
members of
those are active in the part representing the steel section,
sure,
were always represented at the meeting, but quite a few of the news media. We got quite a bit of publicity. As a matter of fact, I think we were the ones that were responsible for Mr. Strauss and the administration putting the trigger price in.
Was that as a result of the meeting?
Well, it was a result of our meeting in Washington that they started the Steel Caucus in the Congress of the United States.
That resulted from a meeting with Congressman Carney, or?
Well, when we went to Washington and the commissioners were coming down doing the congressman's work and the mayor's, the morning, we met in the morning and they met in the afternoon, so we were about 8 hours ahead of them, and our Steel Communities group, we met with the Department of Commerce at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they had formed a caucus in Congress.
Okay, do you recall the date?
I both Sullivan would probably have that date.
I mean, could you give me approximate time period? 77 or 78, early 78?
I'd have to say 1977 anyway. Mayor Hunter was mayor, so I went down, I flew down with Mayor Hunter and Father Stanton. One of the Meshuggah, who was an attorney in the...
He was a CDA director when he was...
Pardon?
Are you talking about Bill Meshuggah?
His brother.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to
know. There was about five of us went down to Washington. We went down several times, but I'm talking about our first meeting. Matter of fact, that's where I met Hal Williams and showed him the map of Mahoning County, and he's familiar. He had gone over I-80, and he remembered that truck stop out at Route 46.
Hal Williams was from
his third in line in the Department of Commerce.
Okay.
And he was interested in trying to do what he could do for the Valley. And through the economic development, we received $5 million for a sewage disposal plant. No, I'm not so. Let me see. For the sewer line.
Okay. Do you recall generally about how many trips you would have made to Washington behalf?
Well, we. Let me see now. We stayed. We went to. I know we made three trips to Washington because we had a meeting with the senator, Senator Glenn, spoke at a luncheon. So, we had another meeting at the Senator Glenn and others at different hotels in Washington. I would say we went to Washington at least four times. the Pittsburgh airport at least a dozen times. The meetings that were held at the Pittsburgh airport because it was easy to get into Pittsburgh either by driving or flying on the Allegheny Airlines because it serviced, or United, it serviced most of the areas where there were steel mills.
How was the Steel Communities Coalition funded?
Well, it was funded by assessment.
To the various governmental units?
Various governmental units.
Okay, and do you remember approximately how much the dues were, or was it based on size, or?
Well, the days, well, of course, Pittsburgh put up the most money, because they were the largest.
They were active, it seemed like the Steel Communities Coalition was active for, right following that, and it seemed to kind of taper off.
It tapered off. Mr. John Palermo now is vice chairman of Steel's Communities Coalition, and Mr. Tom Forrester of Pittsburgh is the chairman.
Okay, but the effort now is still going on, though.
The effort is going on, but it's not as active as it was 5 years ago.
Do you feel that the response of the various groups in the Mahoning Valley was adequate for the problem that you're facing?
I would say that everybody was trying to do what the best they knew how, but it's like everything else, there was too many groups at one time trying to do the same thing.
But you feel overall, though, that
overall it had its effect, because it did bring attention to the federal authorities, and it's my understanding, if it still holds, that it'll be low interest or whatever they're going to do to help bring economic development into the valley.
One final question. Do you feel that the Mahoning Valley will recover from this effort, from these problems, or do you believe the doomsayers that we're going to be suffering from the Sun Belt strategy and all those other
problems? Well, one thing we do have around here, and I read in the paper about drought, we have coal, we have water, we have, right now we have some rail transportation, but if Conrail and Amtrak pull out, I don't know what we're going to have left there, but we do have good highway transportation, probably best in the United States of America. And it's been explained already that commissioners, without too much fanfare, are putting a sirloin out in the area where there's water and transportation. Packard Electric has already put a plant in there, hiring 500 people. There's a plant moving their main offices from Indianapolis into our area. Not any gigantic plant, but it's at least they'll bring their business offices, and if you have that many more added to them, they're going to hire in their plant.
I'd like to thank you very much, Mr. Barrett, for taking time this morning for an interview.
Okay.